ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿ ಬಲಂದಸ್ಯ ವಿನಂಜನಾಶಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುಮಿಲಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. So after that beautiful analytical intimate meditation on Govardhan, just as the sun illuminates everything, what is the use of the light coming from a firefly? No. But in any case, because Maharaj is very merciful and wants to engage me in devotional service, knowing that I'm reluctant to do so, then I'm forced to try to say something, try to be a shadow of the substance, but in any case, try to say something. You know? I'm not so prepared to say much, but possibly about the Govardhan Leela itself, such a wonderful pastime, which expands unlimitedly by the mercy of the great devotees of Govardhan. And I know that it's also a little late, so I'll just try to say a few things and then Maharaj will say more tonight to finish his, you know, the icing on the cake, so to speak. So that the Govardhan Leela, of course, I spoke a few words yesterday about, some of you weren't here, many of you are very busy, about the beginning of this Leela. It's stated that the Leela, of course, it may have many purposes, but there are two main purposes. That the Govardhan Leela, first of all, is to smash the pride of Indra. Krishna had just smashed the pride of the Brahmanas, but then the Brahmanas worship the Lord of the demigods. So, if the master is misbehaved, then how can you expect the servants to behave? So now he had to quell the pride of Indra. But his real purpose was that he wanted to spend time with all the residents of Vrindavan. Because this one Leela, one of the special aspects of Govardhan Leela, is that in this one pastime, Krishna can relate to all the different Brajbasis. Because usually, when there is Sringara Leela, the loving pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, no one else can be present. When Krishna is relating to his friends and his cowherd boys in a friendly way, then Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj cannot, it's a little insolent for them, the way they sometimes challenge Krishna. And when he's relating to his parents, their caring mood is so much that no one else can exhibit their rasa. When his friends are serving him, then how could he possibly, he has to accept their service in a very, more of a reverential mood, although that's reverence with, steeped with so much love, not like the servants in Vaikuntha. And when the cows and the peacocks are entertaining Krishna, he also has to, defer to their mood of devotion. So, but in Govardhan Leela, when Krishna is, everyone is there, and Krishna has to reciprocate. So therefore, Indra, he begins this Leela by Krishna's arrangement, of course. Sometimes when we have some pride, and we have some negative qualities, because devotees, Srila Prabhupada says, that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in one purport, that gradually our demoniac qualities will be eliminated by devotional service. Meaning that when we come as conditioned souls to Krishna's lotus feet, then we have all these demoniac qualities. Now, we may not be, even Srila Prabhupada describes in the Krishna book that Indra's mood is demoniac. Prabhupada said, of course he's not a demon, but this excessive pride is demoniac. No, otherwise, demoniac quality is there Even though one, so a devotee, when they surrender to Krishna, they're great souls. But some of these qualities, these remnants, are still there. So Indra's mood is being alleviated. This Indra does this several times. We've seen all through, he gets angry at sages. Anybody who challenges his authority, he gets angry. And even to the point of Krishna. We can understand, some muni that can take his place, maybe he can get a little worried. But even with Krishna, So, even in our own lives, sometimes Krishna will exhibit his lila, and at the same time, his movement will go on, and by the mercy of that transcendental movement, Sankirtan movement, we become purified. So this is the case. Krishna wants to exhibit his lila with his intimate associates, and at the same time, Indra will become purified. So Indra begins the lila, externally speaking, by after Krishna has instructed his father. We discussed that a little bit yesterday, and he says, "Let's do Govardhan Puja. What are you doing? Everyone's running around, just like in this material world. Everybody's running around, so busy." But they're busy in the wrong thing, worshipping money and so many material aspects. So they were also running around preparing for Indra Puja. And of course there's nothing wrong with Indra Puja in Vedic society or any, all these things are recommended. But Krishna says, Trigunya Vishaya Vedanis Trigunya Bhava Arjuna. Arjuna, the Vedas basically deal with the three modes of nature. You have to rise above. If you want to worship Krishna, you have to rise above these three modes of nature, duality, and situate ourselves in pure transcendental goodness. So, so Krishna says, yes, he explains in a very intimate way that his, this Govardhan, this Indra Puja is not necessary because with or without Indra, just like in the ocean it rains, there's no need for rain. So, this is all taken care of by karma. Karma being my mom's philosophy. So, after he explains that, Indra, of course, he's tuned in. Indra's always tuned in to what's happening, and he's tuned in to Krishna's channel. And he hears this, and he's becoming very disturbed. And then, so Nanda Maharaj, being a little concerned, he knows Indra, he knows his mood, says, yeah, we'll worship Govardhan right after we finish with this Indra Puja. And Krishna says, no, there's no time for that. We have the paraphernalia right here. Immediately, instruction, you must do this. We must worship the brahmanas. We must feed the cows. And we'll make a great sacrifice and feed all the living entities, even the cats and dogs will be satisfied. This is the nature of Govardhan. He's giving everything to us, even to the most insignificant living entity. By the charm and beauty of Krishna, we'll do it, we'll take that risk. So they began, and Indra says, who is this insolent little child, speaking false philosophy of karma? He doesn't even know philosophy. And they're listening to him. So I'll teach them. If you want to listen to a little boy, I'll teach them. So Indra immediately sends. And who does he call? The Sambartika clouds. So fierce. And these clouds came forward very proud. Also, they're proud. They're powerful. When you're powerful, you have the tendency to. So they come. Indra says, go and devastate Vrindavan. Of course, they're a little concerned because this is not time for their appearance and their, but anyway, this is Indra, and of course Indra is being assisted by Vayu, strong winds. They come in. It's described that these clouds were so big that they looked like the Loka-Loka mountains, The Loka-Loka mountains are surrounding, Bhuvarsha, the huge mountains. So they, just like we see sometimes these clouds in the summer season, huge peaks. So these clouds were coming in. And surrounding Vrindavan, everyone is very concerned. And all of a sudden, rain, hail. This is unseasonal for this time of year. Raining and hailing. This is a very beautiful, calm type of, this time of year in Vrindavan is very calm. And beautiful evenings, cloudless skies, just the right temperature. And all of a sudden, this huge storm comes in. Everybody becomes concerned. The rain begins. The cows are giving shelter to their calves, and their backs are being scorched by this rain and hail. Sometimes the hail, it's explained, some of the pieces of hail were as big as elephants. Of course, Krishna arranged that they didn't fall on any of the Rajavasis. You can imagine a piece of hail that big. And we hear from the Weather Channel, they had golf ball size or baseball size, and that would be sufficient to finish us off, what to speak of elephant size. So this storm is coming. Everyone is concerned. But what do? They all turn to Krishna. They all chant Krishna's name. Whenever there's danger in Vrindavan, everyone says Krishna. So Krishna, even though this devastating rain was there, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, he ran out and he just got a little wet. His turban and his clothes, just a little bit. Everything was cleared off. And Krishna ran out and went to Govardhan. He was thinking, although he knew, but he was also informed, Indra is doing this. So after he got the information, he went to Govardhan. And with his left hand, there's a very strong significance to the left hand. Left hand is considered the weaker hand, and the little finger is the weakest part of the body. You try to lift something with your little finger, you can't lift too much. But he lifted. Then he took Govardhan and he lifted it, and everyone saw this. And then he got underneath Govardhan and he lifted. And as he lifted, all these big chunks of earth fell around Govardhan. This was Krishna's arrangement so that they would create a dam all around, because all this water would rush in. Because when Govardhan was lifted, there was a valley. And everyone was worried about going in under there. Krishna assured them, come, there's no problem. Because they're thinking, he's a little boy. We don't even know how he's lifted it, but as a little boy, we may just get under there and then it falls. But he said, don't worry, I'm not doing this. Govardhan is a mystical, beautiful mountain who is always protecting us. So Govardhan is just lifting himself by his own desire. I'm just standing here, apparently holding up Govardhan. But he's actually lifting himself. Don't worry. He'll just remain floating and we can all take shelter. So then everyone assured by Krishna, because sometimes we're reluctant. But Krishna assures us in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, through his devotees, he assures us, don't worry. What appears to be an obstacle, or what appears to be some deterrent to our progress in devotional service is no deterrent. I have everything under control. So then everybody came under the shelter of Govardhan. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, one may think, how could all the Vrajavasis, because, now there's a certain number of Vrajavasis and they may not even fit under Govardhan. What to speak of then, when Krishna brought his whole entourage, how is his whole entourage going to fit under a 3-mile hill? So he explains that when Krishna touched Govardhan, he became ecstatic. And he actually assumed the size of 32 miles, which was enough to, and he could become more ecstatic and cover whatever amount of ground was needed. And not only did he expand width-wise, but he expanded in his height. Expanded so much in his height that he went beyond these clouds, which these clouds are as high as the Loka mountains. And he went beyond them. And all the animals, by Krishna's arrangement, they all ran to the top. And sunshine, the deer, and the wild hog and all the animals. And there were some lions on Govardhan also. So the lions went to the top and they started challenging these clouds with their claws, whipping at the tops of the Sambartika clouds. The clouds were already thinking, what's happening? Even Mount Sumeru saw this and said, who is challenging me? No? Who is this? Where did this mountain come from, challenging my very existence? So, and all the tall mountains of the world are thinking, who is this? No? Who is this personality? And so, the Samvartika clouds became dwarfed. But they were already thinking, this is like, maybe we made a mistake. But Indra, was lashing at them. Go! Every moment, everything Krishna did made Indra more angry. Just like sometimes we see Krishna makes arrangements in our lives and we doubt, why is Krishna doing this? So, Indra, he couldn't understand. He still couldn't understand that he made a big mistake. So he's, the clouds, and so they keep pouring rain and everything. All the residents from Vrindavan come under there and everything becomes illuminated. You would think these black clouds are, darkening the sky, and then they were there for 7 days and night, yet everything was illuminated by the Kaustubha jewel on Krishna's chest. Everything was beautifully illuminated. And so all the residents of Vrindavan are there, and the first person to speak out is Mother Yashoda. She is very concerned. She sees Krishna. My dear Krishna, your hands are as soft as butter, and you're holding up this huge hill. And so, but Bhattu, Krishna's good friend, he says, no. Actually, he assured Krishna, by my brahminical tejas, I'm going to help you. So don't worry. Don't worry about getting tired. And so he assured Mother Yashoda, this is not Krishna, this is my mystical potency that's holding up Govardhan. Don't worry. But Yashoda was thinking, oh my dear, Krishna, just see. You're so mischievous. You always act mischievously, and now you challenge even the demigod Indra, and look at the situation you've got us into now. You challenge Indra, you challenge the demons. Why don't you just be a good boy? But then immediately Bhattu, he was arguing all through this time, he's arguing, no. Can't you understand? Can't you see by the behavior of Indra that this, this whole, this is improper? And Krishna is simply saving us. He's charming us by his transcendental beauty. And he's giving us an opportunity to be with him. Now the mystical potency, by the mystical potency of Krishna, everybody was around him. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were right in front of him. His friends were right beside him. The gopis were a little bit, out of their social position. They were a little bit farther away. They were with their family members and everything. But everybody was looking at Krishna. Everyone was absorbed in Krishna. And the amazing thing is that everybody saw Krishna looking at them. They were all around. But everybody thought, Krishna's looking at me? The only persons that thought that Krishna was looking at someone else were his very intimate associates and the very intimate gopis. They were seeing that Krishna's looking at Srimati Radharani. Because they were the servants of Srimati Radharani, could see this is who Krishna is really looking at. Of course, Nanda and Yashoda were seeing that Krishna is looking at me. Everyone saw that. And so one of Srimati Radharani's friends said, so you should take this opportunity, smile at Krishna. But she was a little afraid. Actually, she was covering herself because she was thinking, if I smile at Krishna, he may become disturbed. And if he becomes disturbed, and actually this was a concern, Bhattu, he said to Krishna, be careful, don't look at Srimati Radharani. Because if you do that, your hand will start shaking. And if your hand is shaking, then you know, who knows what will happen. And actually he did look at her. You know. And when he did look at her, his hand did tremble a little bit. And immediately the cowherd men put up their sticks. You know, help Krishna. And also they did because Mother Yashoda was saying, why are you all standing around? Letting Krishna hold up this hill. You know, you should be helping him. But then Bhatta said, this won't help. You know, don't waste your time. So all these wonderful relationships were going on. And then Yashoda Maya again, out of her motherly concern. This is the only time when all five rasas can be exhibited in their fullest extent at the same time. This is the special compensation of Govardhan Leela. So Yashoda again, she's thinking, Krishna, you've been standing there. Now, of course, you know, this is 7 days, so as time goes on. And another amazing thing, Srila Prabhupada, when he was leaving this planet, he said, I've always prayed to Krishna that I could give up eating and sleeping. But you can imagine, the residents of Govardhan, for 7 days, 7 nights, no sleep, no eating. No. They were so absorbed in Krishna. And of course, the six Goswamis show us that by being absorbed in Krishna, we can give up, we can reduce our eating and sleeping. No. Not artificially, but naturally. No. One time, Srila Prabhupada, right after the morning walk in Los Angeles, so Prabhupada would come, they would give him some Mangalarti sweet, and of course, everybody who was close behind him, they would get some sweets. So a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, why is it that the Goswamis, you know, they were just eating a handful of rice, why would they not eat Mahaprasadam? Because there's Mahaprasadam available, but they were eating so austerely. And Srila Prabhupada said, because they're eating with Krishna. In other words, they're meditating on Krishna, they're eating with Krishna. So that even one time, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was diagnosed with indigestion. So he was brought to, Ayurvedic doctor was brought by his servant. And he said, no, he has indigestion. So how can he have indigestion? If he eats at all, he eats a palmful of you know, some butter or something. How can he possibly have indigestion? No, I know this is indigestion. So everyone was bewildered. And he kept insisting, and Raghunath said, well, I have to admit, yes, last night, you know, when I was meditating on Krishna, then there was a huge feast. You know? And when Krishna's remnants came, I ate so much. You know, so he had indigestion. So this is their meditation. So their meditation was so intense, there was no hunger, there was no thirst, you know, there was no desire for any of these things. Because just as Parikshit Maharaj was questioned by Shukadeva Goswami, now we're going to enter into the pastimes of Krishna. This is going to, you know, this is going to take some time. You've already been fasting. So he was indicating, would you like to, you know, take a break? Take some water, take something. He said, no. That, by wanting water, that's this whole situation was created. My whole predicament was created by the desire to, no, please this body. But now I'm drinking the nectar from your lotus lips. So what is the need for this? Some water. This is so much more nectar. So they were getting this nectar. And so Mother Yashoda was very concerned. She said, Krishna, you have to eat. You're holding up this huge hill. No, and you're not eating. And then Bhattu said, oh, Krishna is the brother of Balaram, who's the strength of the universe, so much strength is available to him. Why? He doesn't need to eat. But then she insisted, no, you have to eat something, Krishna. Put down your flute, because Krishna was holding up the hill and he was playing the flute. And then again, Bhattu said, yes, that's true. You have to be careful with your flute playing, Krishna, because you're playing this flute, and if Govardhan hears too much of this flute playing, he may become more ecstatic. As Maharaj so beautifully explained from this verse, that just by the touch of his lotus feet, Govardhan becomes ecstatic. What to speak of his lotus hand? No. And what to speak of his flute playing? No. So he said that when you play your flute, Govardhan can melt into, stones melt into water, and water turns into stone. So if that happens, Govardhan will melt and will be drowned in melted Govardhan, and Govardhan won't be able to flow out because all the water outside will turn to stone and hold him in. So, but then he said again, Govardhan, even though he may become ecstatic, he's very sober in his duty, as Maharaj explained. He's very sober in his duty, so he'll feel some ecstasy. He may move around, but he'll be sober. He'll remain. He'll maintain his form. There's no problem. And the water is being obedient to, has to stay as water. So the Leela went on and on and on. There's so many things we could say that happened under that time when Krishna was there reciprocating with his devotees. But so finally Mother Yashoda became so frustrated. She said, Krishna, okay, you won't eat. So she went to, she said to Subal, here, you take this tambula, because this will give Krishna energy and strength, and just take this, and give it to Krishna. Krishna, why won't you satisfy me? I'm begging you. So of course Krishna, he just wanted to bring out more and more of this loving parental affection from Yashoda. So finally Subal took the tambula, and with his other hand he took Krishna's flute, and he said, Krishna, you take this. So Krishna, to satisfy Yashoda, he took it, and she saw the redness on his lips, and she was very happy. Now, finally, Krishna has eaten. No. So all the residents were becoming extraordinarily blissful. The gopis were meditating. Yashoda was meditating on Krishna's arm being very tired. And the gopis were meditating on Krishna's arm being very strong, thinking, well, Krishna's arms are so beautifully strong. All the residents of Vrindavan were seeing his beautiful transcendental body in different ways, meditating on the beauty of that transcendental body. And Indra, Indra, up to this point, he had sent everybody, and he was kind of in the background. So when he saw that nothing's happening, nothing's happening, he came personally, and then he started throwing his strongest thunderbolts, which can crush the greatest mountains. And so there was so much thunder and lightning that the sound even the residents were hearing the sound, and then Krishna would just play his flute louder. And they were relieved of their concern. There was so much lightning that it looked like just this huge current of electricity surrounded by, with the background of these black clouds. But under the hill, Krishna was like the black cloud, and all of his devotees in ecstasy were like lightning. So the lightning and the clouds were on the outside, and the lightning and the clouds were on the inside. But the outside lightning and clouds was very disturbing, and the inside lightning and clouds was very ecstatic. So in this way, Krishna counteracted everything that Indra did. And finally, the clouds themselves. And of course, even Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra came and began to create enough heat so that there was not too much water. It was evaporating off some of the water. And even Sheshanaga came to reinforce the earth around the Govardhan Hill so that the water could not get in. So the clouds all saw all this, and they became tired. Indra said more, but they couldn't. They were exhausted. They were exhausted, and they went away. And then Indra realized, I made a big mistake. So Indra didn't know what to do. So he went away and he hid. And then everything became very beautiful. The sun came out. The clouds were gone, beautiful sky, beautiful sunshine. So Krishna sent everyone out and everyone left from under Govardhan. But his friends saw Krishna's left alone under Govardhan. So they ran back in to help Krishna. They thought, now we'll help Krishna, we'll hold up the hill. So Krishna just let his hand down just a little bit, and they all went. So they said, you all go. He looked at them in such a way, you go, I have no problem here. So then Krishna set down the hill exactly in the same place where it was before. And so this beautiful pastime became manifest by Krishna's mercy. Now, it's very interesting that the analysis is given. There were two demigods who couldn't understand Krishna. Of course, no one can understand Krishna. Even he himself can't understand himself fully or 100%. But these two demigods, especially Indra and Brahma, were bewildered by Krishna's pastimes. No, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his song, cherished song by Srila Prabhupada, which we all sing daily, Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Bharadari. So everyone's bewildered that Krishna's dancing with the gopis and playing like a small cowherd boy. And Indra was certainly bewildered by this. And Brahmaji was also bewildered by this. Now, it appears that Indra's offense to Krishna is millions of times greater than Brahmaji, because he was thinking Krishna is just some insolent child. Brahma was thinking, he was just wondering, is this the same Krishna that instructed me? Playing leapfrog with his, I can't just imagine the Supreme Absolute Truth playing leapfrog. No. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meeting with Balabhacharya, and Rupa Goswami was present, and so Balabhacharya was a very serious, scholarly person. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic. He couldn't quite fathom him. So at that time, one devotee, Raghupati Upadhyaya, came walking along. And Krishna said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him in a very ecstatic mood. So he said, can you say something about Krishna? He said, yes. He said, I was just meditating that, the Vedas, the Smritis, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, they all explain the absolute truth in such a way that people hear them to give up their fear or their anxiety of this material world. But I personally, I don't refer to these things. I meditate on Nanda Maharaj, because Nanda Maharaj has the absolute truth crawling around in his courtyard. And he said, but who will believe me when I say what the next thing I'm going to say? Who can understand this? That this same absolute truth is running around in the bushes chasing the gopis of Vrindavan. Who will believe these things? So, in the same way, how could even Brahma couldn't understand? Here is that absolute truth that spoke to me and enlightened me. So he couldn't believe it. So it seems like his offense was just a little bit of a doubt, where Indra was a challenge. But actually, after his prayers, Krishna was totally satisfied by Indra. Totally satisfied. Because by his offense, first of all, he became rectified. But by his offense, Krishna had the chance to be unified and joined with all of his devotees. Whereas by Brahma's offense, Krishna was separated from his devotees. So Brahmaji, even though he offered prayers, that wasn't enough. And he had to come in the next appearance of Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Haridas Thakur, to complete his worship of Krishna. Because he separated Krishna from his devotees. So Krishna's greatest desire is to always be with his devotees. And this Govardhan Lila has that special characteristic, that Krishna could come together. He arranged this wonderful and very unique pastime where Krishna, all of his devotees can exhibit. You know, because, as Maharaj was saying, the gopis are crying all day in separation from Krishna, thinking Krishna's lotus feet touches our bodies and they seem very hard. What to speak of these thorns? They're just total anxiety. And their anxiety, when will Krishna come back? Whenever there's some wind and it stirs up the dust, they get up on their balconies and they see that dust, they think, here comes Krishna, but then the dust blows away. No Krishna. No. The day is like a millenniums and millenniums. And then the cowherd boys, at night, they're thinking, oh, here comes the night. Oh, no. We'll be separated from Krishna all night long. So everybody's separated, but this opportunity, everybody could be with Krishna. No. Nobody is separated. Nobody is left out. Nobody, there's no time separating the moments that I can be with Krishna. So these are some of the special characteristics of this particular pastime. So, anyway, I think I'm going to stop here because it's a little late and it's hard to hold a candle to what Maharaj said, so I will stop here. And if anyone has any questions, of course, for Maharaj, and he's the main question answerer. I'm just his microphone holder. So please, any questions or any comments from exalted Vaishnavas here? No? I always wait for the dessert of any class is always to hear Janaka Maharaj, from his vast learning and Krishna consciousness, to give some dessert. No? That's just his humility and also concern for the Vaishnavas that may be hungry. Govardhan Lila, also the special aspect of this day is that one can feast. No, this is a feast day. Some days are fast days. This is a feast day. No. So everyone is also meditating on Govardhan Prasadam, which we'll get in unlimited quantities later on. But that aspect of, so is any questions or any comments from Maharaj? Correct me. If I can see that the feasting has arrived. No. Okay, so we'll continue and we'll hear more about Sri Govardhan and Sri Govardhan Lila this afternoon. Sri Giriraj Maharaj ki. Sri Giri Govardhan ki. Govardhan Lila ki. Nitai Gorkamanandi. Anantakoti Vaishnavindi ki ta. Shri Shri Radha Nila Madhava ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Gurudev ki. Hare Krishna.